Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Today on Advanced, adding power to your voice. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is February 9, and my name is Naomi. We're starting a brand new article today. It's one of our speed reviews. Now, a speed review is a book review, and so this whole article is talking about a book. And if you are interested in the article, we encourage you to find a copy of this book and read more about it. But before you run out and do that, let's begin by having a look at this summary, taking a look at the main points in the book, and talking about them a little bit here on Advanced. Joining me in the studio are Hazel and Rex, and we're very glad to have both of you with us. So first of all, Hazel, you use your voice quite a lot, don't you?
Yes, I do. I use it every day as much as possible.
So today we're talking about voice power. And do you have any tricks to keeping your voice working well? And
I don't. I've read a few tips and I know a few things, but I am afraid I don't follow those tips very well.
Okay, so you do a lot of recording, both radio and television.
Right.
So what kinds of tips have you heard that you don't follow?
Well, some we'll see and hear, the way to breathe properly and what to drink or not to drink before you speak. And some I'd follow a little bit, but I'm not real good at all these specifics. So I just kind of do the best that I can and try to get by.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that one. Like today, for instance, I had a coffee with milk before we started recording.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. That's one of those big don'ts that we hear about when it comes to your voice. But so far, so good.
Yeah. If your voice goes bad, I'll take over.
Okay. Thank you,
Hazel. Too bad I had a latte, too.
Uh-oh. Well, if both of our voices go bad, fortunately, we have a third panelist with us today. Welcome, Rex.
Glad to be here.
Now, you use your voice all the time.
Well, yes, on a more extensive basis. I'm a singer, so I use my voice in extensive ranges.
Yeah, yes. And we get to hear, of course, Rex's singing, and he does have an incredible voice.
Oh, thank you.
And so do you have certain tips, like just aside from what we're going to be learning about today, are there a few things that you regularly try to do to keep your voice in good shape?
Well, yes, I practice every day vocalizing in terms of scales. I sing a lot of scales every day. And all throughout my range, from the lowest of my range to my top range, try to cover the whole range. And just to keep my voice in shape and train my vocal cords.
It's interesting because often we think, oh, if I use my voice too much, it'll wear out. And so I need to be careful and not talk too much, not practice too much. But it sounds like that's not necessarily true.
Well, it depends on how you practice. If you practice the correct way, it will actually help you build up your stamina, your vocal stamina. But if you practice the wrong way, incorrect way, and hurting yourself, hurting your whole vocal cords, and you're not going to last very long.
Mm. It sounds like exercise, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. Mm.
Are you going to sing for us today, Rex?
I don't think so.
Oh, I wish you would.
Our sound engineer, Marco, is clapping his hands. He's saying, come on, Rex, do it.
Well,
sing
maybe on another program, maybe.
Okay, or well, maybe even just to show us how you go through the scales
something.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Well, stay tuned. We'll ask Rex to do that a little later on. For now, let's get right to our article. We're on page 18. Today is February 9, and let's begin with the first section of Voice Power.
Voice Power. While everyone has a voice, not every voice is one that gets attention, a personal weakness that is often overlooked. Most people are unaware that their voices account for one-third of the total impression they make on others. The other factors are appearance and message. Throughout Voice Power, Renee Grant Williams, who has worked with U.S. senators, recording stars, business executives, and sales professionals, shares her techniques for improving the quality of your voice. She writes that these techniques can help you train your voice to maximize your effectiveness in any form of speaking, speeches, sales presentations, and even telephone and voicemail messages. She believes that anyone can learn to improve the tone and resonance of his or her voice to make presentations more dynamic, powerful, and successful.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. Once again, this is Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is February 9, and we're on page 18 of your magazine, reading about voice power. I'm Naomi, and with me in the studio today are Rex and Hazel. And we begin with learning about, well, what exactly are we talking about? Of course, everyone has a voice, right?
That's right. And I think learning how to use your voice, it's more on a professional level. I think God has given everybody a voice, and obviously everybody knows how to speak. And but if you want to do it in a more professional way, it takes more than just your natural talent.
Okay, that's true. We can all say, most people can say hello, they can say good morning, they can say, let's start the meeting, but can they say it in such a way that people are really listening?
That they get attention, and apparently not everyone can, and that is considered a weakness. If you're overlooked because your voice is not a good one, that's considered something that should be improved.
Overlooked, when we say sometimes this weakness is overlooked, what do we mean?
It's you don't really think about it. You just go on without even looking at it or having a concern about it.
Mm, and I think that's very true. That's not the first thing we think about when we think of people's strengths and weaknesses. We don't say, well, how's their voice? It doesn't really come to mind. But this article is saying, actually, it's a very important thing, right?
That's right. I think it makes a big difference in making an impression of yourself on people. But it's been so ignored when it comes to presenting yourself. People don't really notice it, but it's a part, it's a big part of socializing, interacting with people, making an impression with people.
I think when you notice it, it's usually negative. If someone has a real terrible voice, you know, high and squeaky or something's really raspy, then you notice it in a negative way. But if someone's voice is normal, it might not be noticed. So I think this author's trying to tell us, what if you could have a voice that was really noticeable because it was such a good voice? And that would be something to work for.
It sounds good. When we think about making a first impression, I think of someone's clothing as being important. And I think of, you know, your general personal appearance and the words that you say. Even body language, we think about more than how we're speaking. So here on line 4, what do we have to say? Most people are what?
Unaware that their voices accounted for 1/3 of the total impression they make on others.
Wow.
So that's a big percentage.
Yeah, way higher than I would have thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she says your voice accounts for about 1/3, and other factors are your appearance and the message. That's interesting. What you have to say only accounts for about 1/3 of what people think of you.
Right, and when we say an impression that you make, what do we mean by that? Is it, you know, what your friends think of you or...
Well, what the person thinks of you that you're meeting at the time, probably.
So usually we are thinking of first impressions or maybe a business meeting where you don't know this person very well. So the way that the things that they say make up more of your idea of who they are, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, an image.
Sure, yeah.
That is formed in people's heart about you. Mm-hmm. That they don't really know you, but I guess from your appearance, they can kind of form what they think you are.
Mm, yeah, exactly. When we say something accounts for something, what does that mean?
It accounts for something that makes up a certain amount of something.
Okay. So sometimes if we're talking about, I'm thinking of voting, we can say, well, this person accounted for 1/3 of the votes, you know, like looking at the overall picture. or a budget. You can say, well, my food budget accounts for this much of my total budget.
Or the calories that you eat. Mm. Maybe your sweets account for most of your most of your calories.
Right. Okay, good. Now, in the second paragraph, we introduce the book, but also the author of the book, right? Mm-hmm. Renee Grant Williams. Now, who has she worked with?
Well, she's worked with a lot of famous people, including U.S. senators, recording artists, and business executives, and sales professionals, and many other professional people who have to use their voices on an extensive basis.
Mm. I think U.S. senators especially stand out. You know, late last year we had the presidential elections in the States, and definitely the way a candidate speaks leaves a big impression on people.
That's true. So whether you're a salesman or a senator, whether you're a business executive, it's very important the way you speak. So, of course, we've learned that content might account for about a third, but the way you say your content is equally important.
Mm. So this woman is sharing her secrets, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't say secrets here. We have another word. She's sharing her techniques.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's very important vocal technique that for us singers, that's all we train for. I mean, that's like 80% of our training, and I guess 20% is on interpretation, but the vocal training itself, your vocal ability is the primary goal of our training as singers.
So these techniques are just different methods or different ways that you can improve the quality of your voice. Well, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, I thought singers just picked up a microphone and started singing. Rex, you mean there's more to it than that?
Of course. I still remember the first time I sang. I sounded like a little bird, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have much of a voice, but after years of training, years of taking lessons from teachers, and my voice has changed. I mean, I could tell the difference. You can't, of course, but I remember how my voice was like before the training.
Right. Yeah, Hazel, I think you were thinking of KTV.
Yeah, that's right. And Rex, it's really paid off. Rex has a beautiful voice. It's enjoyable to listen to.
We'll get him to sing a
good,
little
bit. Good, I hope so.
All right. But now this author, Renee Grant Williams, is saying that these techniques can help you train your voice. So just like you were talking about, Rex, when you train your voice, what are you doing?
You're actually working on muscular coordination. Imagine playing golf and versus lifting weights. I mean, training your voice is more like playing golf. And when you want to hit the little white ball, you need a lot of accuracy and a lot of muscular coordination. I mean, a lot of small muscles are involved in hitting accurately that ball. Instead of lifting weights, it's just, you know, just push as hard as you can.
Yeah.
It's actually not much technique in it. And training voices is not like that. Although a lot of people sing like that or use their voices that way. That's why, you know, a lot of people thrash their voice and destroy their voice that way.
Mm-hmm.
And because they have the wrong concept of how they should use their voice.
I'm liking comparing this training your voice to training in a physical way. I think it's a useful comparison. Is training, we talk about training for the Olympics or, you know, basketball teams training for the season. But in the same way, we need to train our voices if we want them to be really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So she wants us to maximize our effectiveness. Now, that's a mouthful, isn't it, Hazel?
It is. She wants you to improve. To maximize would be to be the best that you can be. And so it's interesting because several times in this article, it talks about improving. So I think you can never promise anyone they're going to have a golden, wonderful voice that sounds so terrific. But everyone can improve. Everyone can maximize their potential, do the best they can do.
That's true. And she talks about doing this in various settings, in any form of speaking. She says speeches and sales presentations. So I thought, yeah, okay. But then she also says even telephone and voicemail messages. Now, why would that matter?
Well, you leave an impression when you call someone on the phone. In fact, probably more of an impression because they can't see what you look like. And so your content and how you say it would be 100% of your impression.
Mm. So she believes that anyone can improve the tone and resonance of their voice. Now, tone and resonance. Mm-hmm. Rex, maybe you can help us out with those words.
Well, imagine, I guess, a guitar. I mean, we have six strings on the guitar, mm-hmm. but without the whole wooden body of the guitar, that's the resonating instrument mm-hmm. Of the guitar. Without that, I mean, however hard you play the strings, it's not going to carry very, very far, very
yeah.
loud.
The sound will be very, very small, very tinny.
Yes. Right? So the resonance kind of makes your voice louder. It amplifies your voice.
Okay.
Very, very important.
And tone has to do with how you're speaking. I mean, the way that your expression comes out. And so that can cover a few different things, I think.
Yeah, I think the quality. And again, an instrument's good. Instruments have different tones. You could buy a very inexpensive guitar and the tone would be pretty terrible. But depending on the wood and how the guitar is made, you can get beautiful tones.
Mm.
So that's the quality.
Okay, so you want your voice to be at its best quality so that you can be more dynamic and powerful and successful. Now, dynamic, it's also a musical word, but here it doesn't mean just loud and soft. There's a different meaning here, isn't there?
I think it's in terms of how effective your voice mm-hmm. carries and delivers to people. I think that's the dynamic it's really trying to it's talking about.
I think of high energy. I think of the word dynamite, which has a lot of energy to it, explosive power. So if something's dynamic, you're going to remember it. It's going to be full of energy, powerful, successful. And, you know, sometimes we joke and we pretend like we're doing an advertisement. Hello, friends. And we
yes.
use our voices that way. So there is a kind of voice that's dynamic, powerful, successful. Mm-hmm. And we have that in our minds. And when we hear it, we think, hey, I should listen to this.
Yeah, you sit up and pay attention.
Right.
So I'm sure we all want to learn how to use our voices better. Coming up is step one. So turn to page 18 once again. We're at the bottom of the first column.
Step 1. Learning to breathe. The path to a rich, full, and commanding voice begins with the most basic of skills, breathing. With each intake of breath, air is forced over our vocal cords, which then vibrate to produce a tone. All of our speech comes from these tones. Listen to your own breathing and those of others around you. You'll hear shallow breathers, chest heavers, gaspers, and so forth. Some voice instructors will tell you to breathe only through your nose or only through your mouth. But Grant Williams writes that the important thing is to do what is most comfortable or natural for you. She explains that where you stash the air you breathed in is key. Most often, people find that they breathe into their chests so that their shoulders get filled up. But remember the diaphragm. That's below the lungs, and therefore below the shoulders and chest.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're on page 18 of your magazine. You're here in the studio with Naomi, Hazel, and Rex, and we're talking about how to make the most of your voice. Well, step one is, I'm sure Rex can tell us, the most important thing, isn't it?
That's right. Right here it says step one, learning to breathe. Breathing is so important in actually speaking and singing. It's all vocal production. And it's actually teaching us to breathe from your diaphragm. That means to breathe in deep.
Okay.
And yeah.
All right. So we're going to learn a little more about that through this next paragraph or two. It says first, the path to a rich, full, commanding voice. It sounds like dynamic again, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? So the path, the road, if you want a rich, full, commanding voice, that's how you get there. You have to learn to breathe correctly.
Okay, so with each intake of breath, every time you breathe in, air is forced over our vocal cords. Now, our vocal cords, that's one of our specialized terms. Mm-hmm. And what are they?
They're actually what you use to produce a sound. And the vocal cords are in your throat, and they're supposed to be close together, push together, and the air has to pass through them in order to create vibration and thus creating a tone, a voice.
Okay. And so they vibrate to produce that tone. They sort of move back and forth or kind of shake. Mm-hmm. And usually if something vibrates, think of your cell phone, right? When you switch it to vibrate mode, it just sort of moves. It doesn't actually usually make a sound at all. But that's what can produce a sound. And so that's what happens with your vocal cords. Now, all of our speech and singing comes from those tones. Right?
Yeah, imagine that. So breathing is so important because that's how the vibration comes and that's how your speaking or your singing comes. And so we all need to learn how to breathe. I've learned how to breathe when I was a baby and nobody taught me. So
that's
it's something
true.
That comes natural and yet you need to train the way you breathe so that it can enhance your voice.
Mm. Mm. I think it's interesting how the author lists different kinds of breathers in the next little section. Listen to your own breathing and to the breathing of others. You'll hear shallow breathers, chest heavers, gaspers, and so forth. So shallow breathers would be...
Yeah, that's right.
Not very deep.
Yeah.
And when you're listening for it, sometimes you can hear that.
Yeah.
When people
mm-hmm.
are talking and they have to take breaths a lot.
Oh, that's right.
It's a very ineffective way of breathing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, chest heavers kind of...
Yeah.
You know.
That sounds like someone that breathes in a very strong way. Heaver, you can hear the sound coming out almost. How about a gasper? What's that?
Well, if you gasp, you kind of go,
Oh, this is fun.
It is interesting.
And so forth.
I think you hear most of these after someone's climbed stairs.
Oh,
and then
that's
you
true.
Can see what they're doing when they're a little short of
then
breath.
Then I'm a chest heaver.
Yeah. So now there are apparently sort of some different opinions here, right, Rex, in the next paragraph?
About breathing, yes. Although this whole section is talking about learning how to breathe, but the author says in this paragraph that the important thing is to do what is most comfortable or natural. That means that everybody knows how to breathe from the time when they're a baby. I mean, right now I would watch my little baby boy at home and watch how he breathes, and it's just amazing how people just know how to breathe with the most effective way, just, you know, from birth. Mm-hmm. It's just later on that maybe they've developed, as they grow up, they've developed bad habits that makes people has to relearn how to breathe.
Sure.
But for me personally, I don't really think too much about breathing. When I do, that's when I get into trouble, when I get excess tension in my respiratory system. And
okay.
It actually hinders the way I produce my voice.
Okay. So you actually, it pays off to just do what's natural because it helps you be more relaxed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so although some instructors will say, oh no, only through your nose, only through your mouth, this author says that's not really the most important thing. But in that final paragraph for the day, she says, what is the important thing?
Well, she explains that where you stash the air you breathe is key. When you stash something, you put it somewhere. Maybe you hide it or put it in a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
So when you stash something, but we don't usually think of air you breathe as being stashed somewhere.
That's true. I think of stashing something in my bag, in my purse.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say, oh, I think I have some gum stashed in my bag.
Right.
Let me find it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But stashing the air, it's sort of a fun way to put it. So you have to put that air somewhere, and that's what's key. That's what's most important. So most often, what do people do? They sort of breathe into their chest area, right? And their shoulders fill up.
Well, it's really teaching them how to the author is really teaching that you should put your air really deep into your lung and let the diaphragm control the air.
Okay, now we've heard that word diaphragm. What is it?
Well, that is the muscle that is in between your lungs and your abdomen, your stomach.
Okay.
Yes.
I think we can look over on page 19, and we have a sidebar here talking about a singer's instrument. And it talks all about the vocal cords. And we also see a diagram here of someone's chest, and we see their rib cage. So around there, where would the diaphragm be?
That would be right below the ribcage.
Okay.
And when you breathe in deep, the diaphragm would lower, and it would feel like you're breathing into your stomach.
Mm.
That's what most voice teacher teaches. Oh, breathe into your stomach. But actually, in reality, you can't breathe in air into your stomach.
Right. But I think we can actually try it a minute. If we breathe in first in a way that your chest kind of expands,
mm-hmm.
that's the wrong way, right?
Well, I wouldn't say the wrong way. I mean, at least you have to keep your ribcage comfortably high.
Okay.
But you have to really notice that if your air is breathing deep into your lungs.
Okay.
And if you keep your ribcage comfortably high, it's okay. It's actually okay.
Yeah. But I think we can feel it. If you try to breathe in just sort of shallow, you can feel your chest really expanding. But if you breathe a little deeper, you can feel that it's lower.
Yeah,
where the air is going. Is everyone trying it? Hazel looks puzzled.
Yeah, I'm always puzzled when I take classes like this or people try to explain
it. It's confusing. That. It's actually very, very confusing because it's so abstract. And
I'm thinking, should my stomach be bigger now or when I breathe in or when I breathe out, or maybe that doesn't matter. But anyway, so I like the point that was made earlier. You need to do what comes natural. But
mm-hmm.
probably these tips will help if you're aware of them.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping your rib cage high, you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm like you, Rex. If I try to think too much about it, then it causes more tension and then I get confused.
Yeah.
You know, I've taken lessons from many different voice teachers, 5 or 6, 7, 8, I don't remember. And I've heard teachers teaching me how to breathe into my chest. I mean, she actually taught me to lift my chest when I breathe,
mm-hmm.
which from my knowledge right now, it's what I learned all these years is wrong.
Okay.
So there's a lot of really confusing information's out there from different teachers.
Maybe some different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll learn more about this tomorrow, and there's plenty more to talk about. So I hope you'll join us again. Until then, this is Naomi.
Rex.
Hazel.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.